What's up, everyone? This is Josh Peterson of Humanikin Media.
And I'm Gerald Glassford, and we're from the Pop Culture Cosmos and the PCC Multiverse. And you're listening to Weird, a Two Dudes podcast right here on the ACE Podcast Network.
I feel like there's a joke in here somewhere.
I know, that's really weird, isn't it?
ACE Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Aaron.
What's going on, man?
I'm just over here.
October 23rd.
Yeah.
What a good day. Episode 115.
Yeah, that's almost 200.
That's only 85 away from reaching 200.
I was using some of your math.
I'm super excited about that.
Can you believe 115?
That's a lot of episodes.
And not even one cupcake delivered to the Lee Berry Studios.
Not yet. We're going to have to do something about
not
that.
Not one DQ gift card.
Oh, now you're talking.
Not one.
By the way,
I don't know.
I stopped by Sonic and tried one of their, I tried the banana Reese's custard thing.
I thought you weren't eating that kind of stuff.
I'm not.
But well, apparently you were.
It was terrible.
They brought you a spoon out. You could just taste it.
It was like they tried to make a blizzard and left all the Reese's at the bottom. Nothing was blended in.
You don't get an imitation. You go to DQ.
I deserved it. You're right.
When's the last time you had a Buster bar?
It's been a while.
You remember when
too long.
You remember we had all those boxes of them?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and we were like,
I had a big freezer full
the
for
paramedic,
a while.
We woke up and had sticks stuck in my face.
Speaking of paramedics, we have a paramedic friend that still has a box of Buster bars for us.
You're right.
Yeah, Brandon.
Yeah,
we're looking for those.
Well, I think that he's been waiting for you to hold up your end of the deal on something.
Tonight's top story.
Top story.
You like
is that? That wasn't in the band meeting. I don't know why you think you can just say that.
I like saying it like
it's
that.
It's redundant. You say, tonight's top story, and then I go, top story. And
yeah,
then it's
that's the jingle. That's the stinger.
It's
a stinger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it's
I like to go, tonight's top story.
Top story.
But that...
That's like sharing with you. We're both involved.
Who's Sharon?
She's Zach's wife.
Oh, yeah, I do know her. Hey,
yeah.
There's a man. This one's mine. Hey,
that doesn't work.
Okay.
No,
my headline is
no. You can't do that. It's too close to mine. Next story. That'd
it's
be a
about
good
time
one.
I have a headline.
You need something.
What
that
you
separates
talking about?
Stories.
What you talking about?
Headline.
What you talking about? Headline. What you talking about? Headline. What you talking about? Headline. Is that mine? What you talking about? Headline.
Something. You got to have something to separate the story. You got to keep them separated.
It's about time I got my line.
Okay.
Man lived with the corpse of mom, twin brother for a year. A man who lived with the decaying bodies of his dead mother and twin brother for more than a year said he didn't report their deaths because he was traumatized.
That's no excuse.
Maybe they died with their hand on the phone.
I'm not touching that phone.
Robert James Kufler, 60, was charged last week by police in White Bear, Minnesota.
Don't you know?
With interference with a dead body or scene of could he have his house declared a morgue?
It's going to be I bet it's
or
a museum.
Or a mausoleum.
One of these days.
Interference with the dead body or scene of death, a misdemeanor, according to Inside Edition. Okay, now we're going to take Inside Edition's word on
yep.
it. Okay, I guess we got to. The macabre living situation crime came to light on September 2016 when neighbors asked police to check on Kufler's residence.
Yeah, something stinks over
there.
Would
you check on his residence? Yes, ma'am, it's still there. Responding officers said the house had a stench of decay. They found the skeletal remains of Kufler's mother, Evelyn, in an upstairs bedroom and the mummified corpse of his twin brother, Richard, in the basement, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
This is like
Norman Bates.
Yes.
Autopsies on the bodies. I don't know what that means that I could finish that sentence talking about Norman Bates.
I don't know, but
what
it was
does
good.
That mean? Autopsies on the bodies showed both died of natural causes. Richard in July 2015. Did they have like an expiration tag that pops out or something? Well, by
best if used.
Yeah. By the looks of the tag that popped out of his neck, it says he died here on July 2015.
Who knows what those medical examiners do?
And his mother a month later.
They cut him open and count the rings.
I was traumatized. What would you do? Kufler
I would call
told.
The ambulance is what I would
Kufler
do.
Kufler told the Associated Press on Saturday, I am not some nutball. People think I am, but I'm not. I loved them.
Loved them so much, he decided to keep them forever.
Kufler told police he found his brother dead in a chair,
That's not funny.
And eventually moved the body to the bathroom as it was in the way.
Come on, brother.
Does he not use the bathroom? Maybe put him in like a pose.
He lives in a hotel, so there's all kind of bathrooms.
According to the
motel,
court document, he told investigators he knew his mother was dying, but didn't want to be around when she died, so I left the house to drive around a couple hours.
She was dying because she had no food. He left the house.
So instead of taking her to a doctor, he drove around until she died.
Terrible.
She was dead in her bed when he returned, according to the Star Tribune. Cuffler hid the deaths from family members. Hey, is Evelyn here?
Yeah, but she's
Richard,
sleeping.
I'm looking for Richard.
Richard.
Yeah, he's
Richard.
Asleep too. Okay.
Hey, what's that smell?
I've been coming by. Oh, it's just a pot roast. Worry about me.
Gross. Something's roasting. All
he even sent out Christmas cards saying his brother and mom were in bad health and didn't want visitors to visitors or phone calls.
Don't stop by.
He told the Associated Press he doesn't think he needs counseling.
You know what? I think he needs more than counseling. But anyway, headline is, and by the way, this comes to us from listener Jake Burns. Headline is FAA looking after pilot dropped turkeys
hold up.
On Arkansas Festival.
This
Wait
is,
a minute.
This is stolen from WKRP.
No, this is
Cincinnati.
Actual news.
This is little convenient that this happened on WKRP
the Federal
in Cincinnati.
Aviation Administration. I checked this story, Craig.
As
it's
God
real
is my
news.
Witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
The Federal Aviation Administration, also known as the FAA, said it will check to see whether any laws or regulations were broken when a low-flying pilot dropped live turkeys onto an Arkansas festival over the weekend.
Somebody's not going to like it.
The annual Yaleville Turkey Trot in northern Arkansas
Yaleville.
Has included a turkey drop for more than 5 decades, though sponsors in recent years have distanced themselves from the practice.
Well, yeah, because they don't get hit by turkeys.
Several birds were dropped Saturday and then chased by festival goers below. Local animal rights activist Rose Hillard, boy, I bet she's a looker, once criminal charges,
oh, that was presumptuous.
Once criminal charges filed against the pilot. She alleges the pilot terrorized the birds and violated state laws against animal cruelty and animal abandonment. So the festival organizers didn't immediately return calls seeking comment Monday. An FAA spokesman said Monday the agency was aware of the weekend flyover. In the past, the FAA hasn't intervened because the birds aren't considered projectiles.
Well,
they're birds.
Well, you know, they can't fly distances. They can fly up into the tree and roost.
Yes, they can.
So maybe a low-flying drop doesn't hurt them.
Anyway.
And maybe the people that were chasing them, yelling at them, they should be charged with terrorizing.
Yeah,
them.
I think they should charge Rose, whatever her name was, with terrorizing. But anyway, they caught up with the pilot, and he had this to say.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
See, I wouldn't have blown your punchline if I knew.
I just had it standing by. No, it adds to it.
It's WKRP in
That's
Cincinnati,
classic,
one of the best episodes
The
ever.
Funny thing about that show was I worked in radio when that was popular, and it was exactly like that. They nailed it.
You made every bit of that up.
I did not.
You went.
Did not.
You made it all up.
Did not.
It's not true.
It's so true. It's WWGM. Nashville,
what you talking
Tennessee.
About, headline? Pizza Hut introduces its new Pizza Parka.
I want a pizza parka.
I like this.
I can't. It's my asthma.
Don't fret over cold pie. Pizza Hut's delivery pouch just got an upgrade. According to the chain, the new weather-resistant warming sleeve
is made
of...
What is with restaurants getting into clothing? KFC has
a
clothing line.
This is the thing they put the pizza in. This is the bag.
No, it's not.
It says
it's a jacket you wear. There was a photograph of it. It looked kind of cool.
Well, the way this reads, it looks like... Okay. If I read this without the picture, which I am,
yeah.
I would say this was just the bag.
I want one. I bet it's hot.
I want a pizza, too, especially when it's hot.
No, I want a pizza parka.
According
pizza parka? Wasn't he Spider-Man? Pizza parka.
I sometimes think I could walk out and you would still entertain yourself.
Oh, it's Peter Parker. Well, you can
you
see where
don't explain the joke. It makes it worse. According to the chain, the new weather-resistant warming sleeve is made of 3 layers of advanced thermal insulation and keeps pizza oven hot from the time it leaves the restaurant to the moment it reaches your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
To prove it, the folks at Pizza Hut sent the Daily Meal one of their new pizza parkas made with the same materials as the new delivery pouches. That's a pouch. Could this outerwear stand the test of a windy day in New York City? Outside, I felt like I could conquer anything. Though the air felt quite chilly, my heart yearned for much grander what am I reading?
It's poetry in motion is what it is.
She So, wow. In my fire truck red parka, I was prepared to tackle anything, and in the process, if anything spilled on my face, I could wipe away with the parka soft park. This is stupid. I'm not reading this. I refuse.
I want a Pizza Hut parka. You know what? I'm going to try to put a picture of it in the show
notes.
They got
parkas. They got pockets,
yes,
right in the zipper for Parmesan and red pepper.
Yeah, you put those, you know, you get those packets.
The only thing that sounds intriguing here is, yep, access your phone,
yeah,
even in a blizzard.
Yep.
And I'd like to read that as even if you want to get a blizzard.
Even while eating a blizzard.
Eating a blizzard.
Yeah. Through a protective
this
slot.
This may be one of the dumbest things I've read.
But it's interesting to me, and I would like to have one.
Okay, well,
I want a Pizza Parker.
Here's the deal.
What?
Post-apocalyptic world. You and I are traveling, foraging for food. We come across the last Pizza Hut, and there's one Pizza Parka.
Yes.
You can have it.
Thank you. No. What if it doesn't fit? But I'm small.
You would have lost a bunch of weight by then because there's nothing left.
Headline is, Arby's to sell deer sandwiches nationwide for only one day.
Some would call it venison.
It looked delicious, too. It's a big old thick
slab
of venison.
They did this
venison
once before, and they sold out. They'll probably tell you this.
They did. Arby's is on a mission to have all the meats. The purveyor of fast food roast beef sandwiches is expanding its nationwide menu for one day only. In what looks like to be becoming an annual Arby's tradition, as you said, the chain will re-release their venison burgers nationwide, which they debuted last fall.
This is their McRib.
While also testing elk sandwiches in three states. I don't really know that I would enjoy an elk sandwich, although I would try it, but I'm pretty sure I would enjoy a venison burger.
Pick the antlers out of it.
On Saturday, October 21st, which is towards the beginning of deer hunting season in many states, Arby's will be selling venison burgers in all 3,300 restaurants across
the
country.
In all 43?
I thought Arby's. The chain did this last year for nearly a month-long period in six states, and it was a huge hit. Some locations sold out within 15 minutes.
Why don't they just add it to the menu?
Oh, man, it looked good. If this wasn't 3 days ago, I'd go get one or two days ago. The sandwich features a thick slab of venison steak with crispy onions and a juniper berry cabernet sauce on a toaster roll.
Keep talking. Yeah.
This year, the company took greater pains to secure enough meat to last longer than 15 minutes, but with the ever-present caveat that quantities are limited. Chief Marketing Officer Jim Taylor told USA Today, if people are interested in trying the sandwich, the only way to guarantee that they can get one is to get there when we open or a little before and make sure they are in line, just like the folks did last year.
Right.
Taylor told USA Today also that production, they're hoping to get enough venison from New Zealand to supply for the entire day.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
We got one of the largest populations of deer in the entire world, right?
Good point, yeah.
And they're going... It's
oh,
like
but that New Zealand deer, it's nothing like it. It's the best venison on earth.
According to Arby's.
In select locations...
Let's get Mark on this.
In select locations in Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana, Arby's will sell elk sandwiches, a popular hunting species in those states. The elk sandwich will be topped with a blackberry port sauce and crispy onions as well.
The crispy onion part sounds good.
The whole thing looked amazing. It really, at least I know the photographs of their food. Always looks good.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I could talk about any kind of food and you'd say it looked amazing.
No, that's not true. I don't eat fish of any kind. It doesn't, it's nasty.
Catfish is delicious.
Oh, that's gross. Catfish is like the bottom of, I don't eat liver.
Liver's disgusting.
Never touched liver. I accidentally had some liver one
chicken,
time.
Fried chicken liver once and it was disgusting.
Oh, nasty.
Gross. So gross.
I don't eat, what do you call them?
I don't know. You've got to tell us.
I don't eat chitlins.
I don't eat pig's feet or chicken
none
feet.
Of that. So there you go. I just proved you wrong, Craig.
About what? I'll bet if I could make it look delicious, all I got to do is stick a chicken foot in a blizzard cup, and you'd be like, it looks
that
good.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, there you go. What you talking about, headline? Japanese man invents coffee made entirely of garlic.
Oh, yum.
Garlic coffee can now...
That sounds delicious.
makes you smell good, too.
Yeah.
Garlic coffee can now be a boon to the coffee-loving pregnant women abstaining from its...
Why has it got to be a pregnant woman?
As a man in northeastern Japan invented the drink that looks and tastes like coffee, but is made up entirely of locally grown garlic.
I don't believe it.
My drink, it probably the world's first of its kind. I almost said worst because it is the worst.
It is definitely
said
the worst.
74-year-old Yokitomo Shimatai, anywho, who was a coffee shop owner in somewhere. It contains no caffeine, so it's good for those who would like to drink coffee at night or pregnant women.
You know, I'd try it. I would try it, and I hate garlic. That's
Shimotai, who launched the drink sale in January, said the drink was accidentally made from a cooking blunder about 30 years ago.
Whoops!
When he burned a steak and garlic while waiting tables at the same time at his
shop. Wait a minute.
He mashed the scorched garlic with a spoon and mixed it with hot water. When he drank it, he was surprised at its coffee-like taste.
It's pretty good.
Maybe some horrible Denny's coffee or
but
something.
But isn't garlic pretty expensive? I mean, if you made it.
I don't know. I don't buy it that often. I do like the taste.
Hey, don't knock Denny's. I had the best breakfast of my life at a Denny's.
Okay. Was it chicken foot sticking out of a Blizzard cup?
Oh.
Shimotai began researching the drink after retirement, aimed at turning it into a product. After repeating trials and errors on the optimal way to make it, he created a coffee he can be satisfied with about 5 years ago by using an electric furnace to roast the garlic. After cooling it, he took a time out. Is mashed up and dripped.
Huh.
Okay.
I'll try.
He took a patent on the method in 2015 and opened a workshop in neighboring Iwate Prefecture.
I show you how to make coffee out of garlic.
Shut up. While his drink has an aroma of roasted garlic, it will not cause bad breath because it is thoroughly grilled, said Shimotai. The drink is currently available at 2 souvenir shops or by ordering it by telephone.
What about online? Can I order it online?
Doesn't say you can.
Good grief. Headline is, man lives in the woods for 10 years to escape his wife.
Now, I was going to say, if this said woman lives in the, I'd say this is your wife. Your wife escapes to the woods as much as possible.
She really does. She lives in the woods more than she does at home. Malcolm Applegate.
Easy for you to say.
Took extreme action to leave his wife, who he says started showing controlling behavior towards him.
You know this has got to be somewhere in England.
Somewhere.
Because they spelt behavior.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Applegate left home without telling a soul and slept rough in the woods next to a community center for the elderly where he had been working as a gardener.
That's desperation.
You know what? That's pretty cool, though, because he'd finish work and he'd just have to walk a few feet and he's at bed. That'd be nice.
Yeah, he'd fall over in the flower bed.
Have a cup of garlic coffee and out your eye.
Nighty-night.
He did this for 10 years before moving into Emmaus Greenwich, a homeless shelter in the south of London. He was now made contact with his sister for the first time in a decade and says she thought he was dead. He just vanished.
Yeah.
He's like the guy from
Vegas.
Yes. He shared his story with the website. Before becoming a companion at Emmaus Greenwich, goodness gracious.
Well, that's okay because you butchered the first word, too.
I was a gardener in Farnborough for 25 happy years. He put the word happy in there.
Happy.
I love the job, and I still love tending to gardens now. It wasn't until I got married that my life became increasingly unsettled.
Wow.
Who's telling this story? Most of the men in America. What?
No comment.
Craig.
No comment.
The more work I took on, the angrier my wife got. She didn't like me being out of the house for long periods of time. So what did he do? He moved out of the house.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good husband.
She didn't like him going off and making money to pay the bills.
Right. The controlling behavior started to get out of hand, and she demanded that I cut my hours. You cut your hours and your hair. After a long time trying to stay in the marriage, I decided to leave for good. Without a word to anyone, not even family, I packed up and left.
That's a man who just had a psychotic break.
I went missing for 10 years. You're right. He snapped. I camped in thick woodland near Kingston and made that home for 5 years while maintaining the gardens at a local community center for the elder.
What if he learned to talk to squirrels?
If they knew where he worked, why didn't they just go there and say, we need to speak with whatever? I enjoyed my
life.
That
is true.
Yeah, I enjoyed my life, but when I heard about Emesis through a fellow runaway.
That changes every time you say it.
I knew that would suit me better. Yeah, a roof, running water, you know, warmth. Air conditioning.
Gotcha.
So he went to Emma's.
As long as I'm not there with her.
Greenwich for an interview and moved in almost immediately. So, long story short, this guy got married. His wife wanted him home more. So he decided to go away from home permanently and lived in the woods.
Yeah, that's what you just told us when you read the whole story.
Yeah, I just made a long story short.
Right.
Yeah.
What you talking about, headline? Is that going to be it?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's going
to
be it?
Got to have something to separate the stories.
What you talking about, headline? Well, usually it would be the thought here would be that when my voice comes on, we've separated the story.
No, because a lot of times we're discussing stories, and you'll go straight into a headline. Even editing it, it's kind of confusing sometimes.
What you talking about, headline? Banker's dumped girlfriend drives his Mercedes into swimming pool.
What's wrong with
that? Revenge. She was mad.
Sure she was. He's a banker. He can afford it.
The dumped girlfriend of a banker in the Bahamas reportedly got her revenge by driving his Mercedes car. They have to say Mercedes car. Like, we don't know what that is. into his swimming pool. Guy Gentile.
What? Wasn't he on Sesame Street?
Yeah, I don't know. He's a Gentile, though. Broke up with Christina Kuchma, a Russian-born model, during a restaurant dinner after she asked for $50,000 to help start a marketing business.
Well, I'd break up with her, too, the freeloader.
Yeah, I said, you know what? You got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
If you want a guy who's going to hand you money for nothing, you got the wrong guy.
Mrs.
He said.
Go back to Russia.
Incensed by his response, Miss Kuchma threw hot green tea in his face and stormed off, he said.
How dare you not give me 50 grand?
Mr. Gentile, the gentle, said he later received it because he didn't lift a hand. He didn't do anything.
He just told her she had the wrong guy.
Later received a text message from her that read, liar.
Actually,
misspelled.
I think that's Lear.
Huh?
Lear. It's misspelled. It's supposed to be liar.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Okay, you know what? If I want any more out of you, I'm sorry. Okay. Liar, you told me you will help me start a business. Okay, this is great.
She's from Russia.
Yeah, I'm going to back this up because this is how she's talking, okay?
Yeah.
Liar! I can't do a Russian accent. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, you can. You're doing good. Do it.
You told me that you helped me start my business. And because women talk that way.
Yeah.
You know, that were your words. Now you want to be an investor? Well, investor, I have a surprise for you in your backyard. Start with the investment idea first and get the moose and squirrel. When he arrived home the next morning, he found his Mercedes S400 hybrid at the bottom of the swimming pool.
Oh, it's not that kind of hybrid.
My heart dropped because of he was feared she was inside.
Oh, good for what a sweet
fella. I didn't
care
about the car at the moment, he told the newspaper. But after I realized she wasn't in it, then I started to get mad that she would pull something like this after everything I've done for her. I dumped her. Dumped my car? Dumped her. A report was filed to the police after the incident. Mr. Gentile said it took more than 4 hours for the car to be removed from the pool. He added, I really loved this girl. It would have married her, but she went too far. So she was looking for a sugar daddy.
Yeah, and she really blew it by driving his Mercedes into his pool. If he's got a Mercedes and he's got a pool, she should have been nice to him. Maybe in Russia, that doesn't mean anything. Maybe everybody drives. No.
And what she lost was a Mercedes to drive and a pool to swim in.
That's right. Now where is she?
What was this business that was so important?
At the Kremlin.
He was giving her the business.
Yeah, gave her the business. Headline is, man accidentally deposits marijuana into bank. That's not a good thing. This comes to us from Williamson, North New York. A Webster man is facing charges after allegedly depositing marijuana in a night bank deposit bag. This story comes to us from the Times of Wayne County. The Times
sounds like a TV show.
The Times report state police were called to the Lyons National Bank in Ontario after the bank found a bag of marijuana in the night deposit bag from a gas station in the town of Toronto. I wonder if he was trying to light it with a gas pump nozzle.
Quite possibly.
The night manager of the gas station, 27-year-old Timothy Ventura of Webster, allegedly said he went to his car to put the gas station deposit in the bank bag but accidentally picked up marijuana in his car seat as well. So at least he admitted it. Once he closed up, he locked the bag. The Times reports Ventura realized what had happened. He allegedly told state police he had no choice but to make the deposit and wait. They said he later admitted to the marijuana being his.
That's really not that weird of a story. You know why?
Why?
It happens every day on this show.
Well, that's true. We do get a lot of weirdness quite like that. Hey, this next story, you know, it's almost, you know what date it is? It's almost Halloween. We're like a week away.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So
I don't care for Halloween.
Me either. I don't do anything. You know what? I usually end up watching a hockey game.
Okay.
That's how I spend my Halloween evenings normally. But you and I have plans this Halloween, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna skirt out of that somehow. Ready? Here we go.
We've been hired out to work at, it's our local library.
Yeah.
So we'll help out with the kiddies.
Sure.
We're weird.
We're going to.
That's what else do you want with your kids?
We're going to grab kids and throw them against bookshelves.
Couple of weirdos.
Yeah, right. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm not saying it anymore, by the way.
What? Hey?
What you talking about, headline?
You got to separate the stories.
Friday the 13th, flight 666 makes it safely to HEL.
That's right.
I'm saying HEL because that's actually the abbreviation of the airport.
The airport, right? It's in Helsinki.
Right. Copenhagen. The Helsinki airport says flight 666 has arrived in HEL. I would say hell, but it's HEL.
Is it really?
Well, you say B&A for Nashville.
That's
you don't
true.
Say BNU.
I do. I say banana. Drive me to banana.
The airport code for the Finnish capital for the last time. The Finnair flight took off from Copenhagen, Denmark, in the 13th hour of Friday the 13th, headed for Helsinki, Vantaa Airport.
Let me stop you here because
you like to interrupt.
No, you kind of rush past the most important thing. This is an annual event that people look forward to and buy their tickets like years in advance to be on this flight.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It does not say that in the story.
Well, that for the last time, you just kind of rushed right
because
past that.
Because
it's over, and they explain why. But I just want to point that out. I've heard of this flight a dozen times.
Well, I haven't.
Maybe you need to get out
I don't
more.
Follow the same satanic cults that you do.
I go to bed too early to be in a cult.
So I'm going to let the listener figure this out. I'm going to say it again, right?
Okay, go ahead.
The Helsinki airport says flight 666 has arrived in hell. The airport code.
Safely.
For the... whatever. You for the Finnish capital for the last time.
There.
For the last time could mean they're going to burn the airplane.
No, this is the last time this flight.
They're going to close Helsinki.
Well, either way, it's still the last time.
Either way, that doesn't tell me that it's a thing that's been going on.
And people are not happy.
It does not tell me it's a thing that's been going on for a long time.
Well, yeah, I figured you knew that. I
no.
mean, I did.
No.
Everybody
no.
does.
No. No. Finavia, which operates Finland's 21 airports, says the flight landed 8 minutes ahead of schedule at 3:47 p.m.
How do you feel about Finland?
I don't.
I would love to live in Finland.
I wish you would. The flight started 11 years ago. It tells me. See, now you're at the part where you could say I skipped over it. Now it's telling me it started 11 years ago and has fallen off. Listen to me.
Yeah.
It's fallen on Friday the 13th 21 times with no reported ill effects.
Yeah.
Still, Finnair has decided to retire the flight number as the carrier is switching around some flight numbers later this month. Flight AY666 will become AY954.
And what this story doesn't tell you is that people are upset about it.
Yeah. You want to editorialize the whole thing. I don't know what to tell you.
I want to move to Finland.
The thing is, actually, I don't want to go into details because it's very personal in nature. I don't want anybody to hear this. Not for me. But Friday the 13th, a person that I used to work with died.
Well, that's terrible.
Of all things to happen, of all days.
I wouldn't want to.
Friday the 13th.
I hope I don't die on Friday the 13th.
I'll take what I can get.
Headline is.
It's silly, right? Friday the 13th. Who started that? The best thing about Friday the 13th has been the movies.
Wes Craven started it.
Sorry, that was not Wes Craven.
I just picked a horror guy.
You did. A dead horror guy.
He died on Friday the 13th, oddly enough. Headline is Breaking Bad house owners build fence after pizza stunts.
Yeah, I don't watch the show, but I know something about pizza.
Have you never seen the show?
I saw it. Didn't really like it.
Oh my gosh, it's my second favorite show of all time,
next to Rick and Morty,
next to Fargo. If you've seen the popular TV series, which I have and Craig hasn't, Breaking Bad,
I saw one or two.
You probably remember a scene in which Walter White angrily tosses a pizza onto his own roof. In years since...
If you want to condone a show about illegal drugs...
Oh, it was a terrible show. It was a fantastic show, but it was terrible. Fans have traveled to recreate the stunt, landing the real-life owner with hours of cleaning. The show's creators even stepped in 2015, asking the pranksters to stop. Now, the owner has reached a breaking point, no pun intended, building a 6-foot iron fence to keep people and their pizzas out.
I think the production company should have kicked in the money for it.
In the program, actor Bryan Cranston chucks the pizza after his wife discovers his drug-dealing alter ego and refuses to let him in the house. Frank Sandoval, who runs a local Breaking Bad tour company, told the news that he had to climb onto the roof to pull pizzas thrown by tourists. Joan Quintana said that her mother, the owner of the house, has had to deal with hundreds of people over the last few years trespassing, taking photographs, and even attempting to steal rocks as souvenirs.
You know what would be awesome?
What?
If people weren't so stupid? instead of doing something, throwing a pizza and wasting a perfectly good pizza, and you want to see the house?
Knock on the door.
Walk up to the house and give them a pizza.
Yeah, say, look, I brought you a pizza. May I come inside?
Or no, just kind of take some pictures in front of your house. I brought you a pizza.
Yeah, I'd eat it. Sounds delicious, actually.
Yeah.
We feel like we can't leave because when we do, something happens, and that's ridiculous, she said. The crime thriller ended 4 years ago, but creator Vince Gilligan scolded fans on a 2015 podcast about their behavior while sightseeing. You ever listen to podcasts, Craig?
I've heard of these podcast things. I'm not really sure
they're
pretty
cool. It's like a self-programmed radio. Anyway, there's nothing original or funny or cool about throwing a pizza on a lady's roof, Gilligan said. It's been done before. You're not the first.
Yeah, that's not really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
What you talking about, headline?
I love it. I think it's perfect.
New Zealand faces chipocalypse as farmers warn of crisp shortages.
Oh, no. No more crisps.
No more crisps. Those are potato chips?
Yes, they are.
Okay. New Zealand is facing potential crisp shortage. They should change it to potato chip because it's easier to say.
It's much easier.
Shortage this summer, producers say, in a snack crisis being labeled the chipocalypse.
Should that be crispocalypse?
That's what I'm thinking. That if pick what you want to call
Don't
it, New
use
Zealand.
Both.
Persistent wet winter weather on the islands has hit potato production, resulting in higher prices. And the Irish are like, don't look at us.
We didn't do it.
No, it's like, tell us a thing.
Yeah.
About potatoes.
The old famine thing.
Yeah, I don't think you have to explain it.
No,
I think they knew
went ahead.
I think they kind of knew what I meant.
I dropped that in there for our younger listeners. Yeah.
In some places, up to a third of the crop has been lost. And crisp, which are made with a particular kind of potato from affected regions, have been hit particularly bad. Industry Body Potatoes New Zealand. Okay.
Potatoes New Zealand is an industry
body. It's a body.
Yeah.
It's a giant body made out of potatoes. This giant potato body in New Zealand says the price for a kilogram of potatoes has already risen sharply in the past year from $1.63 in August to $2.12 a year later.
Well, that's not so bad.
But the ongoing trouble in potato farming did not capture mainstream attention until a warning appeared on some supermarket crisp aisles. Seasons are inverted in the northern and southern hemispheres, so it is now spring in Australasia, following a particularly bad winter. It started raining in March, and it just simply hasn't stopped, said Chris Claridge, head of Potatoes New Zealand, blaming the third wettest year on record. Speaking to Radio Live New Zealand, he said farmers had not had the dry periods their crops needed. Potatoes are actually alive. They need to breathe.
That's a good band name, Need to Breathe.
And so effectively, they drown.
Yeah.
And then they start to rot because they submerge in water. I don't know why he's talking that way. I just kind of lost
He's from Australasia.
I was kind of thinking about a potato story that happened at our house. It's kind of a random story. So
Greg's random story.
So I kept walking by my refrigerator at home a while back.
Right.
And I kept getting this nasty smell, and I'm like, what?
And Ethan wasn't around?
No, and you weren't there. And I'm like, I'm looking through the fridge. I'm thinking, has some, you know, something leaked out?
Yeah,
something.
Gross, yeah.
I'm looking around the trash can, thinking the trash can. I said, you know what, Glenna? She goes, hey, wait, you know what? I think there's some potatoes under the cabinet. She says, hey, I think there's some potatoes in the cabinet. I go look under the cabinet. It was like a potato shake. It was things had turned into some thing from outer space.
This is a random story. I kind of wish you hadn't shared.
I know. But here's the cool part of the story.
Oh, it's not
I
over
cleaned
yet?
It all up.
Greg's random story.
It's all good now.
Okay.
It was one of those deals where it just got lost under the cabinet.
Forgotten about. Sad.
Yeah, but it was a potato story.
Yeah, matched.
So
I don't have any potato stories, although I do like potatoes.
Well, should I finish this story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Waterlogged fields also make it difficult for farmers to get to their fields and save the crop, he said, because the soil cannot support the weight of the tractor. New Zealand's North Island, where crisping varieties are grown,
oh, yeah,
has suffered most, he said, but fresh potato supply from the South Island is largely unaffected. So, anyway, so we've learned a couple things.
Yeah.
We've learned that they try to make off with both crisp and potato.
Right.
They or whatever it is, chip, we, chip.
Yeah, let me
chip
do the next
crisp.
One. We've learned that potatoes breathe. They need
potatoes
to breathe because they're living.
We found out that if you leave potatoes in your cabinet and forget about them, they turn into a big mush and
they get squishy.
Smell really bad.
Ugh.
And we found out that there's something called, there's a body made out of potatoes.
In Australasia,
New Zealand, something, and the potatoes are now from $1.63 to a whopping $2.12.
We learned a lot in that story.
We really did.
That was very educational.
Kids, please protect your potatoes at home. Don't let them get mushy and weird.
Headline is, Chicago ranks at the top of the rattiest city list.
Rattiest, rat, tat, tat, tat.
This comes to us from Chicago.
I made my own theme song.
That was good.
Rattiest, tat, tat.
Just in time for Halloween, the rats are out wandering the city for the third consecutive year.
They're having a parade?
Chicago ranks as the rattiest city on Orkin's top 50 rattiest cities list.
Buddy.
In fact, service calls in Chicago are up 32%. Well, I'm surprised with all the bullets flying around there. There's any rats left.
Yeah, right.
It does surprise me. Chicago has quite a number of conducive conditions of its own and a lot of opportunity for improvement, said Orkin entomologist and technical director of Orkin's Midwest region.
I don't believe Orkin.
John Kane. Chicago currently
John
has...
John McCain?
No, not John McCain. John Kane. Chicago currently has a lot of mice and rat pressure. We have a lot of square mileage spread out, and we have also have a lot of alleys in which we put our garbage. New York is a close second, followed by Los Angeles and San Francisco, he said. Kane said that as the weather gets colder, unwanted pests like mice and rats look for food, water, and shelter, just like humans, you know.
Right.
Rats and mice begin looking for warmer, more insulated places to get through the winter, and these two often happen to be in our homes or businesses. Rodents like to chew on wood and electrical wires, increasing the fire danger behind your walls and potentially damage to your home. Rats can squeeze through a hole the size of a quarter. Rats, Craig.
Wow.
Size of a quarter. While mice can fit through a hole the size of a dime. Even if you can't find an opening, they can often chew their way in. Mayor Emanuel has proposed spending an additional $1.5 million next year to get rid of the rats.
I wonder how my mouse is caught at Kroger.
I don't know.
Think he's doing okay?
I think he is.
Hey, it's the Mark Patton Top 10. Keeping with the theme.
Yep.
What you talking about, Top 10? Top 10 rattiest cities in America.
We should have gave a spoiler alert. I already know what number one is.
Yeah, that is true. You already ruined it for everybody.
Way to go.
Well, let's just go backwards.
No.
Why? Everybody knows what one is now.
I don't want to go backwards.
Why?
Start at 10.
Why?
Go 10.
Why? 10. Number 10. Number 10, top rattiest cities in America.
Yeah.
Dallas, Fort Worth.
Number 9, top rattiest city. If you live in this city, you're very ratty. Seattle, Tacoma.
On the way to Tacoma?
Yeah.
Philadelphia?
Atlanta, PA.
LA. LA?
Yeah, Atlanta.
Anyway, I go to Northern California.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Should we just continue the song?
Yeah, no.
What were we doing?
The list. You're at number 8.
All right, Baltimore. That's number 8 rattiest city.
Oh, I'm so glad I have number 7. Detroit. Rock City. Rat City.
Number 6.
Gotta lose your mind in Detroit. Rat City. Number 7.
Number 6.
Number 6.
Philadelphia.
PA.
What do you think those Philly steak and cheeses are made of?
Now I don't want one. Number 5.
I bet if I put a chicken foot.
Oh, I've actually met some of the rats from this place.
Oh, no.
Washington, D.C.
Okay, I feel a sports joke coming on.
Uh-uh.
Number 4, San Francisco. Oakland, to be specific. Why? Because you'll get beat up.
Number 3, Los Angeles.
Yep. Number 2, New York.
And
the number 1 top.
The number 1. The
rattiest city in America.
Surprise. Do we need a drum roll? Chicago, Illinois.
You kind of ruined that for everybody.
I did. We should have given a spoiler alert. So people could have turned down their...
You mean like spoiler alert, like told everybody to stop listening at the beginning?
That wraps up episode 116.
116!
Hey, we'll be back. Tell your friends, please. Rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. What you talking about, Craig?
What you talking about?